There we go. Good morning. I love being here. It's always exciting to come to Duluth, to come to St. John's. So, I'm going to show, because some of you might not know, but I know a lot of you guys, I'm going to go real fast through the first part, but I'm going to show you a little bit about the Miriam home. Okay. Let's see. There it is. This is the campus of the AFLC Bible School. And in the corner, under the red dot, is the Miriam Children's Home. And for those of you who do not know, we're not an orphanage. In Brazil, we don't have foster home systems. And so instead of foster homes, we've got houses like the Miriam Home that receive a moderate amount of children. Our limit is 20 kids who need to be away from their families for a time. According to the government of Brazil, we take care of the kids while the juvenile courts are doing their business. That's not what the Miriam Home is. But that's what the government thinks it is. But one of the things that I love is just the Miriam Home is in the corner of the Bible school. It's surrounded by people who love the kids in that house. We've got staff that work with the kids, but beyond the staff are these wonderful Bible school students and these wonderful Bible school teachers. And they love and they protect and they defend, and they're this little mighty wall that surrounds the kiddos. And I love that. And in general, the Miriam Home is a home just like any other house. It's bigger, depending on how big your family was. But we try to make it as much like a home as possible. And our kids, we hope that they can live their lives as normally as other kids do. And so they go to school, and the girls have makeup parties, and we sometimes have pajama parties, and the kids just enjoy life the way they should. The kids have bedrooms, 4 children to a bedroom, and each bedroom has its own bathroom. How many of you would have loved that? Yes, if you grew up in a house like my house where there was one bathroom and there were multiple teenagers and you were the youngest, I would have liked that. So we've got the rooms for the boys, the rooms for the girls. We've got our nursery for the babies. We've got 2 parks for the kiddos. Anybody want to guess why we have 2 parks? Rain is a good reason, but it's not the primary reason. We actually had the 2 parks before we had the covered pathway to go between the 2. The reason we have the 2 parks is we had 1 park outside where all of the children played. And do you know what a 9-year-old will try to do with the 3-year-old if you only have 1 park? See if they fly like a frisbee. Yeah. So we have the little park that's for the little kids and the bigger park for the bigger kids. Our kiddos love to do, or sometimes they don't love it so much, especially the part about going to school, what all kids do. And so that's our kids club at our local church. And these are the kiddos all dressed up getting ready for Sunday school. These are our teenage girls at a teenage retreat. And the very best part is we have a retreat center that's run by the AFLC about 5 miles from the Miriam Home, and it's got a swimming pool. And retreat centers are occupied every weekend, right? But during the week, the more important part are our kiddos. I told you that we have a capacity of 20. This year, it's been a wild year. For more than half the year, we had anywhere from 22 to 26 kids, topped out at 28. And so the Miriam Home is like your home. You have a capacity. And then the holidays come. And a lot more people fit in your house than you thought they could. So that's what the Miriam Home has been like this year. Right now, we've got 16 kids in the Miriam Home. We've got some teenagers. This is Jennifer. She's 17. She's been with us twice just this year. This is Lucy. And she's 14. and she's been with us almost the whole year. And this is Josie. Josie's been with us since May. And that's longer than most of our kiddos are. Most of our kids are with us for 2 to 3 months at the most. But some situations don't resolve that quickly. And with these teenage girls, our long-term vision is they're going to be with us for several more months. Now, Josie came in May. Her daughter came 2 days before I left for the United States. Josie's 13. And so in the first 5 months of her stay with us, she learned how to cook rice, make beans. Those are two very important functions for a Brazilian woman. She learned how to wash clothes. She learned how to keep her room clean. And any of you who are parents of a 13-year-old, you know that that is not a natural function of a 13-year-old. But she's learning to do what you don't always have to do when you're 13, because her situation is different. Right now, she's learning how to be frustrated when you don't sleep for 4 nights in a row, but not take it out on your baby. She's learning how to be a mom way before she should have. But I am so grateful that we have the opportunity to mentor her while she's doing that. This is Vanessa. I don't know Vanessa. She arrived after I left Brazil, but she's also 13. And this is Danilo, and he's 10, and our oldest boy. And then we've got some of the middle-range kiddos. This is Isabel and her little sister Yasmin, and they're called the Polacks. Now, does something mean come to your mind right now? In Brazil, calling someone a Polack, you are not being mean or ethically insensitive. They call people Polacks who are very blonde. The first time I was called a Polack, I was a little insulted. And then I discovered that it's just, Johnny, what are you complaining about? You're blonde. What are you going to do? And then we have Derek. And he also is brand new. That is, since I left. He's 8 years old. Oh, Isabel is 7, and her sister is 4. And then we have another brother and sister set. This is Nandara, and she's 4. And Enzo turned 2 since he's been with us. I love this picture just because the shirt he's wearing says, you think I'm a rascal? Look how concerned I am. And that's just his personality. And this is Devi, and he's also new. The first 3 days that I was in the United States, we received 3 new children. I wrote them and said, stop this, because by the time I get back, the end of February, we're going to have a problem if you keep this up. But, and then we have another set of 3. This is Derek and his little brother Samuel and their little brother Taliesin. Taliesin is just a danger. He's the cutest little dickens, and he can work you with those eyes. My goodness. Those are the children that are in the Miriam home right now. And taking care of them are our house moms, who are my heroes. This is Nisi. Her name is Eunice, but her nickname is Nisi. You spell Nisi, N-I-C-E. How cool is that? Did you want to have an aunt who is nice? We got her. She works together with Suli, and they work Monday through Friday during the day. And then we have Odette and the lady in the right here. That is Ava. And they work at night. They come in at 5 o'clock, stay till late in the morning. And then the lady standing next to Ava is Sonia and Fatima, I'm sorry. Forgot her name, don't tell her. And they work on the weekends. And they are the valiant ones, because they come in Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock and stay until Monday morning. Right now, we've got 16 kids, and you notice we have one baby. We had 26 children, and 5 of them were babies. That's when we are so grateful for the Bible school students that come down and help on the weekends, because there is no way. And together with, they are the house moms. They're in the house with the children all the time. And obviously not everything that happens with children is in the house. There's more than washing clothes and making food and changing diapers and giving baths and telling older kids to take a bath. And so we've got a support team. And we have the shorter lady, who is Surai, and the blonde lady, who is Karen. Surai's the administrative coordinator. That means she does all of the paperwork that keeps the house open and the government happy. I do not envy her job, ever. The blonde girl is our psychologist. The girl with the long hair is Maria Vittoria, who is no longer in our house, and she's right next to Simone, and she's our social assistant. Karen and Simone work with the families of the children to find out why they're with us and how they can either get home or what the next best positive situation is. We don't get to decide, but the juvenile court listens to our opinions, and so when we visit with aunts and uncles and grandparents and the parents, we get a good idea of if the children can go back to their birth families. And then we have Pastor Silvio. And he is the dad of the Miriam home. And I'm the grandma of the Miriam home. And so we support the house moms. And I personally am the Uber. I am Winnie the Pooh. I'm the first person that kids meet when they arrive because my desk is right next to the front door. And so when the kids come in, they sit with me and Surai and the social assistant or the psychologist will talk with the social worker to find out what's going on. In the meantime, I get to sit with the kids and I usually get to give them a good cuddle. And I always get to tell them that they're okay. And I have a wretchedly strong accent. It's embarrassing. 24 years in Brazil and I still have a terrible accent. And to adults, that's something that Brazilians are very kind about, but they notice. Children don't notice. It just makes me feel more like them. Not as formal. Not very scary. You can't be scary if somebody's talking about the door and calling it a girl door instead of a boy door. And so, and I love that. I love that there's a certain amount of vulnerability that I have that makes the kids feel a little bit less vulnerable. And I have one more set of pictures I wanted to show you. Have nothing to do with the Miriam home, but I just love them so much. And they're new. Matthew and Ed and I, Abel, are in Paraguay. They've been there for a year now. And they are learning Guarani to work with the indigenous people of Paraguay. And even though they're there as students preparing, they already have a wonderful ministry going on because they have hearts that just reach out to whoever they're near. And so I just added them in here because I want you to keep praying for them, okay? A little commercial outside here. There are prayer cards for all of our missionaries. And if you want to take them home and play missionary bingo, go for it, okay? I wanted you to see the faces of the kiddos. And actually, I'm going to do this. Take you back to... Take you back to just looking at some cute faces. Because I love working in the Miriam home. I love getting to be grandma to all of these kiddos. I will tell you stories until the cows come home and go to sleep if you give me a chance. Not going to do it now. But you know what? It's hard sometimes too. Because I know where the kids come from and why they're with us. And I look at the kiddos, and especially the little ones. The older kids understand better, but the little ones are in a situation that they don't have the emotional capacity to understand. And so they're coming to us confused and scared and angry. they may have been taken from the worst parents ever. But a three-year-old doesn't understand that. He just knows, I want my mom. They may be sleeping in a more comfortable bed, wearing clean clothes, eating all the food they want. But a four-year-old doesn't understand that. He just knows that the bed is weird, the clothes are weird, the food is weird, because it's different. They're in a situation that they don't understand. And then you add Christmas to it. When everyone on the face of the earth wants to be with family, and they're not. And there's this anguish. And there's this frustration. And we love them and we cuddle them and we speak kindly to them. But you know the one thing that we can't say to them? I understand. Because we don't. But there's good news. Because there's somebody who does. I loved the first part of the service this morning. Because it just relates so much to what's on my heart. Have you thought about why Jesus was born in a barn? Why his first bed was a trough? We understand, and you guys, the reading was so beautiful. We understand why he came to earth, why he took on human flesh. We understand why he became man. But why did that man have to be born in a barn and laid in a trough? Was it because Joseph was just a bad planner and didn't make a reservation? Somebody took God by surprise and he didn't realize Bethlehem would be full? He was born in a barn because there was no room in there. No, he was born in a barn because God had a plan. He was born in a barn because Jesus, from the beginning, identified with the least of these. Last night, we tried, we did not succeed, but we tried to go to Bentleyville to see the lights. But we saw the lights from the freeway. We saw the lights from beyond the freeway. How many of you have been to the Twin Cities? Every single one of you. How far do you have to be from the Mall of America before you stop seeing that glow in the night sky? You see that a long way. Okay. In the night sky, there was a star. Three men in another country saw the star and realized what it signified. All of the descendants of David were in Bethlehem, and nobody saw the star. How did nobody see that star? They saw it. They didn't pay any attention to it. They didn't know what it meant. The angels appeared to the shepherds. If you can see the Mall of America from Fridley, how far away could you see the angels appearing to the shepherds, bringing good news of great joy to who? All men. And then, if that's not enough, the angels filled this night sky. Filled it. What were the people in Bethlehem thinking that they could not see that? They were thinking about themselves, about what they were doing, who they were with, what was going on in their lives. They didn't see. The shepherds saw. The shepherds, those high, lofty, spiritually impressive farmhands, were out in the field. They saw. And they responded. Jesus was worshipped. He was recognized. He was cared for. But not by the people you would expect. Not by the descendants of David. The line of Jesse. No. He was recognized by the farmhands. Who saw and obeyed. Our kiddos are with us because the people you would expect to care for them, to watch over them, don't. But God prepared other people to do it. Jesus identifies with our kiddos. Jesus understands what they're feeling. But it didn't end in the manger. Because Jesus did catch the attention of the important people, right? Problem was, when he caught their attention, they were not happy. So shortly after Jesus was born, the angel says to Joseph, run away. And Joseph, being a wise man, ran away. So Jesus becomes a refugee. No home, no land, no house, nothing on the lam. And yet, as you read the scriptures, you see Jesus being an anxiety-ridden, neurotic young child, right? No. Because he didn't have any of the things around him that signified security, but he knew that the hand of his Father was over him, caring for him, guarding him, protecting him. And Jesus understands 100% the anxiety and frustration of our kiddos. But I am convinced, as we cuddle them and hold them in our arms, as Odette lays them in bed every night and puts her hand on their heads and speaks God's word and prays for them individually, that what they hear in their ear is the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, do not be afraid. You are mine. I have chosen you. I have called you by name. He understands them because he identified with the least of these. And I was sitting here this morning, and Pastor prayed for a lot of you. And for some of you, this time of year is not the jubilant time of year that everybody else is jubilating. And Jesus understands that. Because his first Christmas, not a time of celebration. Not so easy. He understands that. Others of you have people around you who are not having an easy time. Christmas is one of the times of year when there is a peak in depression, when there's a peak in anxiety, when there's a peak in suicide attempts. Why? Because everybody is supposed to feel jolly, jolly, ho, 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 and I don't. And Jesus whispers in our ears, saying, I know, it's okay. I love you. I've called you by name. And so, dears, I just thank you so much for letting me come and just share this little thing with you. Thank you for praying for the children in the Miriam home. Thank you for praying for the staff in the Miriam home that we would know how to communicate that God knows. He loves you. He has a plan for you, for our children. And just a reminder that the same thing is absolutely true in Duluth as much as it is in Compton-Widow. That God is present for us in our celebrations, but also in our times of difficulty. Thank you. Can I pray? Father, just thank you so much. Thank you so much that you chose to identify with us at our weakest point. You identify with us, but you identify with us in your strength and in your power and in your glory. And when we are weak, you are strong. And we thank you for that. We ask for your blessing over us, that we would recognize your strength in our life, and that we would declare your strength in the lives of the people around us that are going through a hard time. And I ask you to bless my kiddos right now. I ask you to bless those kids that would really like to be with their families right now. You are preparing a future and a hope for each one of them. And I just ask for your comfort and your consolation for their hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.